This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. The three-pack is back. The three-pack is a great value, and the top three uses for the air purifier are to eliminate odors, allergens, and air pollutants. Get the three-pack today at EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word Howie3.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston. You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Grace Curley Show. Thank you all so much for joining me here. We are at Cape Gunworks in Hyannis. You still have plenty of time to stop by, check out the guns, talk to Toby. We're going to be talking a lot about the Supreme Court's decision yesterday, which struck down the concealed carry rule in law in New York and has a lot of people who don't understand the Second Amendment up in arms. Joining us now on the show, but before we even get into that, Toby, let's tell people why they should stop by today. What do you got in store for people?
Well, we have a very special Grace Curley and Howie Carr special going on.
Ooh.
And we only do this during the Cheap Bastard deal on the Howie Carr show, but we have extended it today. We have a very special event. A $475 membership is $250. So you get a screaming deal. It's a fully annual membership. It enables you to get access to the range and never pay range fees. You can get 5% off anything you buy, guns or ammo. It enables you to get 10% off any courses you take, and you get a cool t-shirt. The t-shirt alone is worth the price of admission, right? And would love to have you come down and take advantage of this deal. This is a once in a very long while deal. They sell out so quick on the
how many are we offering, or is it a time limit?
It's just while you guys are broadcasting. So time is ticking. The clock
that
is working against you.
Yeah, you got to get on this. I would do it sooner rather than later.
Absolutely. Sooner rather than later. And $250 gets you the fully annual membership. And we very, very rarely, if never, waive the initiation fee. So that's $175 value. We only do it for Howie Carr because he pulls some weight around here, and Grace accordingly. So there you have it.
All right. And where can they go to get that?
They can go to our website, capegunworks.com. They can call us on the phone, or they can visit us in person, which I strongly suggest they do, and get a nice t-shirt, get a book signed, and come get your picture taken with Howie and Grace, because that's going to make it all the more worth it.
Yes. And the pictures are free. We don't charge a fee for that yet. Keyword being yet. Let's talk about the elephant in the room, which we're all wondering, is how are we going to handle it this year when Howie and I are both at the range and I embarrass him so badly and he feels like, why am I here? I'm not as good of a shot as Grace. She just does such a better job than I do on the range. How do you plan on handling that?
Well, I think we'll try to prep Howie that, you know, even though there's no biological connection here, but when your kids do better than you in life, you're proud of them.
The next generation, right?
The next generation. You want them to excel, and I think we'll just have to work them up to feeling like that.
It's for the children. That's what you're trying to say.
Yeah, so, you know, even though you're, you know, kind of adopted into the fold, it's still going to make him proud. Let's put it that way.
Yes, I agree. All right, now, Toby, on a serious note, the Supreme Court yesterday struck down a concealed carry law in New York. I should actually play one more time here before we get into what Clarence Thomas wrote, and we had talked about it earlier. It's a really great quote from his decision. Before we talk about that, though, I want you to react to Governor Kathy Hochul. Let me remind everyone, this woman has armed security around her at all times. She was weighing in on this decision. Jared, I'm not sure what number it is, but could we have Governor Kathy Hochul, please?
Everybody in America recognizes that there's a problem with gun violence. And the people who cheer this, what they say, what they see is, look, there is a problem with gun violence. And I, as a law-abiding citizen, want to be able to hold a gun on my person so that I feel safer. What do you say to that individual?
I say that makes everyone else feel very unsafe. We don't know if you're provoked. You know, you're in a bar and you're having someone looks at your girlfriend or your boyfriend the wrong way. There are so many triggers. It is, if someone wants to have a legal gun license, protection in their home, that is their domain, they can do that. We've always allowed that. Or for hunting and other purposes.
How do you react to that, Toby?
That's so nice of her to allow that. She can protect ourselves in the home.
She's a generous woman.
Yeah, she is generous. And I appreciate that, Kathy. I mean, that is a really, you're really going out on a limb there and allowing us to protect ourselves in the home. But unfortunately for you, the Supreme Court has affirmed what everybody else on in the United States, in the history of the United States, except for those who don't want to know the truth, is that the right to keep and bear arms is an individual right. And bear doesn't mean in your home. Like, nobody walks around their house, you know, holding their guns and saying, I'm protected now. The bear means to go forth and go abroad and go outside the home. And that is finally been decided on in a way that I believe will pave the way for many more decisions to overturn the restrictive and infringements on our rights that tyrants like Hochul has done throughout the past 100 years, for sure. So I think this paves the way, opens the door for a lot more undoing of bad Second Amendment laws that are, in my opinion, unconstitutional. And it was great to see the decision yesterday. I'm probably 30 pages into the 135-page decision. And it's, for me, like if you were a good musician and you could read music and you started to read like Beethoven's Fifth, that's what it sounds like to me in the work that I do. You know what I mean?
And what was funny yesterday was when this news broke, our first thought was, Toby's going to be so excited to talk about this on the show. And then we called Cape Gunworks and they said, Toby's not here. He's fishing. Gone fishing.
They had to out me. You know, this is the second time in my career that this has happened. The first time was on the day that'll live in infamy here in Massachusetts on 7/20/16, which was the biggest gun control, you know, ruse by those in power. And when Maura Healey declared that the assault weapons ban now takes on a much different meaning, and she became, in my opinion, all three branches of government and judge, jury, and executioner all at once, and she dropped this enforcement notice. I was on a golf course with my family in Duxbury, and I have never golfed with that uncle or that cousin. They didn't even know what I did for a living, probably.
And you'll never golf with them again.
Yeah, I probably won't. And so meanwhile, at like noon, I finally look at my phone and realize the world has just gone berserk. And Brendan leaving me voice messages, when are you going to get here? When are you going to get here? The world has gone upside down. And so yesterday, of course, all day Tuesday, I'm like perusing the decisions, waiting for it to drop, and it didn't happen. And of course, yesterday, I go into a fishing tournament, and sure enough, I'm hauling in fish, having a good day in the sun. Meanwhile, everyone's calling and leaving me voicemails.
But you can still, I mean, even today, we're still talking about it. It's that big of a decision. Yeah. And something I want to point out about what Kathy Hochul said is that I think a huge part of this that kind of breaks down their argument is, okay, so this law in New York, unconstitutional, as ruled by the Supreme Court yesterday, but it's been on the books there for 100 years. Mm. And the thought process is, we have this rule that makes it so people like Kathy Hochul and other people in charge can decide who's allowed to walk around with their gun, who's allowed to conceal and carry. If you've looked at any of the headlines coming out of New York in the past, specifically the past 2 years, I don't want to say it started happening when Joe Biden became president, but there's definitely been an uptick of things. That hasn't worked.
Right.
So her clinging on to this and saying, we need to have this so that people aren't walking around like it's the wild, wild west. If you've looked at New York City, it is the wild, wild west either way. And I don't think those people who are walking around treating it like the wild, wild west have concealed carry permits.
Right. And that has been the history of gun control, is it lays the blame on the object rather than the individual. And I say it a lot, but 95% of all violent crime is done by repeat offenders. We have zero stomach. We have zero you know, will to lock up violent offenders for a long period of time. So they usually get out on low bail or no bail. They get out on good behavior. Their sentences are reduced. In the case of the Sacramento shooter, he got out 6 years early and was given a check for $7,000 as a sorry we incarcerated you for four out of the, you know, 10 years of your sentence. Here, go do good things. And he took that $7,000 and he created a machine gun and went and shot people in public. And it's like, that's the issue right there. That's the root of the issue. Not the fact that law-abiding, responsible gun owners are allowed to walk around in the subway or in the Times Square in public space with a gun to protect themselves or others. They want to lay the blame at the people who aren't responsible for the crime and create this narrative that the guns are just bad and they make us all unsafe. But statistically, and a lot of people were shouting over the past 2 years, like you say, Grace, you got to trust the science, right? That was the new, you know, rallying cry. Well, the science shows that highly restrictive gun-controlled cities in America are amongst the most violent cities in America, where the least restrictive gun-controlled areas are the safest in our communities.
You have to tell everyone, Toby, I came in early today and we were talking and you mentioned a specific town. I think it was in Georgia.
Yeah, Kennesaw, Georgia.
And I had never heard this before, but tell the listeners what happens in that town.
In Kennesaw, Georgia, you're actually required by town ordinance that you must own a firearm or a gun. To be a resident of the town.
See, everyone here, like, is that crazy? They make exceptions. If
yeah,
you write in and say, I really can't.
If you're a conscientious objector, you can get the hall pass or get the free pass that you don't have to have a gun. But why would you move to a town like Kennesaw if you are a conscientious objector to their... I doubt there's very many that go there and say, I want an exemption from your town ordinance. And honestly, if it was challenged, it might crumble. How do you make it mandatory to possess a gun? I mean, I think that's ridiculous. But the point isn't even that. It's the point is the people that live there are happy with that, and they have one of the lowest violent crime rates in the history of our country. And I think they have like an average of like the lowest murder rate with firearm in any, like, you know, Google it, but you can see their violent crime and murder rate is like below the, you know, it's so low. And, you know, good people owning guns makes communities safer. John Lott, who is I believe he was a Georgetown University professor, wrote a book called More Guns, Less Crime. And he just documented it. It's up to like its fifth or sixth iteration with all new data coming out. And he makes the scientific point that gun communities that have a large percentage of responsible gun owners in them are amongst the safest in our nation, and highly controlled gun controlled areas are amongst the least safe in our country.
Well, also, Toby, and this is a quick thing before we go here, this idea that people who have permits to conceal carry are going to bars and, you know, getting in fights and going off the rails, that doesn't add up either with what we've seen statistically from people who have those permits. That's not usually how things work. They're not flying off the handles at a bar in the middle of the night. Mm.
Yeah, statistically, people who do carry guns and are legally able to do so, whether it's through permit or constitutional carry, are generally speaking a very responsible group and don't want their rights taken away because they get in some sort of altercation or some sort of confrontation. And most of the people I know that carry guns responsibly, you know, avoid the potential for conflict because of that. They don't want to be in some area where that could get escalated very quickly, that, you know, some drunk guy is coming over and, you know, whatever. So they avoid it, especially when they're carrying a gun. So I reject that argument and say, if you look statistically, gun owners are less likely to commit crime than non-gun owners. And that's a statistic you can look up. So they value their rights and they want to maintain their rights going forward and make sure that they don't screw anything up that would make them a prohibited person.
We're at Cape Gunworks. We're talking to Toby Leary. Let's give Toby a big round of applause. Thank you so much for coming on. And Toby, tell people one more time where they can go to get this incredible deal.
Go to capegunworks.com and click on the special. We have a Grace and Howie deal right on our homepage, and you can get a wonderful deal on a membership there, and it won't last long, so make sure you go quick.
This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. She's the friend you never knew you needed.
What? Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
Okay, make that best friend. It's Grace Curley.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. We are at Cape Gunworks in Hyannis. It's Airport Road if you want to come by. We've got food here, fun, Howie Carr, all sorts of good stuff. And there's that deal at capegunworks.com, which is an incredible deal. I think they only do it once a year, and they're only doing it while we're on the air. So make sure you hop on that soon. I want to read a quote here from Clarence Thomas, the Supreme Court Justice, who actually penned the decision that came down yesterday, striking down the New York concealed carry law. And Toby actually read this to me today because he loved this sentence so much. Thomas wrote, "The constitutional right to bear arms in public for self-defense is not a second-class right, subject to an entirely different body of rules than the other bills of right than the other Bill of Rights guarantees." And I think that's very well said. And it's definitely worth reading. All of these decisions that are coming down are worth reading. Howie was reading into this same one yesterday, and there was all these examples. I think it was from Alito.
Alito was talking about the fact that you know, that all these so-called oppressed minorities who are being shot, that they've all filed amicus curiae, you know, friend of the court briefs in support of doing away with this law in New York, and how they felt threatened. And he mentioned specific examples of this gay guy in Arkansas that fought off some gay bashers with a baseball bat because he had the equalizer. And he mentioned a woman who was about to be raped, and she had a gun, and she was able to defend herself. And he also, Breyer, writing the dissent, and he said, we've had so many mass shootings lately in Uvalde and in Buffalo, New York. And Alito said, why are you bringing up Buffalo, New York? This is the you're trying to save this law in New York.
That
obviously
didn't work.
Obviously it had no impact whatsoever on the on what happened in Buffalo. Not to mention what happened in Brooklyn, where there were like 30 people wounded on a subway.
Well, you don't think that guy had a concealed carry permit? but Howie, you know what? David Harsanyi put this so well. We had him on the show yesterday. If anyone wants to check that out, you can go to gracecurlyshow.com and listen to the podcast. He's great. But he said today about what's happening now with Roe versus Wade, you're going to see zero arguments based off anything regarding legality that are defending or opposing this decision.
You just go out and lie about it.
Yeah.
Like Biden.
It's all emotion.
It's a constitutional right. Where is it in the Constitution?
You didn't read that part about abortions in the Constitution?
What amendment is that? what article is that in?
Howie, you know the thing. I don't have to tell you. You know the thing. When we get back, I want to go over, we're going to do a little, because we've got a nice crowd here, we're going to do a little bit of journalism in the news, because there's a CNN analyst who's offering a hot take on this abortion debate. It's not Jeffrey Toobin. So far they know not to have Jeffrey Toobin weigh in on the abortion debate, but give them time. I'm sure he'll come out soon enough.
Give yourselves a round of applause, everybody, here at Cape Gunworks in Hyannis. Come on down. The first 20 people to buy a t-shirt get a free copy of Kennedy Babylon. I'm Howie Carr.
live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Roe versus Wade has been overturned, and I have to read you guys some texts I'm getting from a very good friend of mine who I really love. She is fabulous, and she's a nurse. She works her butt off, and she just drove by the State House, and there's all these people outside protesting. They're moaning and groaning, and she sent me a photo of all of these people, and she said, I'm dying to know what these people do for a living. And you know what I wrote back? You're looking at it. You're getting a first-hand account. And then she said, it's so true. I wish I had time to lay on the State House steps. Same here, sister. We're at Cape Gunworks. Come on down. We're in Hyannis. We're having so much fun. Toby Leary is here. You can ask him all your questions when you get here. You can go to the range. You can hang out with some new friends. You can check out the show. Really fun stuff. You'll see Howie Carr. I have a few other things I want to hit here before we wrap up today. Jared, could I have some journalism in the news, please?
And now, news.
Very fake news.
I see a lot of excellent journalism being done.
Give me the press.
I'm not sure, to be honest.
How can you ask a question when you don't know the press?
He said that journalists make up stories and make up sources.
As a journalist, I don't really like being the story here.
Very fake news.
And many of your compatriots had to change the reporting, and they had to apologize, and they had to correct.
This is a golden age of journalism in a lot of ways.
Mr. Biden, what flavor did you get?
News.
All right, so first I want to read you a piece here from James Freeman's article in the Wall Street Journal, and he takes an excerpt from a New York Times report. And this is what they say. Now we're talking about Biden, what's happening with the oil industry. For anyone who's just tuning in, he doesn't have time to meet with the oil execs. His schedule is too busy. Okay? Someone's got to eat all the ice cream. But he does have time to meet with the wind people, to talk about wind, and to talk about the propellers and how, wow, they're so big and they're amazing. So he clears his schedule for that, but he can't go a mile down the road to meet with the oil execs, okay? And now the New York Times is reporting, to make matters even better, President Biden's top aides are weighing whether to ban new oil and gas drilling off America's coasts, a move that would elate climate activists but could leave the administration vulnerable to Republican accusations that it's making the energy crunch worse as gas prices soar. In other words, this will make AOC and Greta Thunberg
blah, 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 blah,
and all of the geniuses on the far left, this will make them very happy. But Republicans might pounce and seize and weaponize on this dumb decision. Imagine the nerve of us that we're going to point out that you guys keep claiming you're doing everything possible to bring down the price of gas, but you're going to tell people that they can't drill off of our coasts. And then a few days later, you'll go to Saudi Arabia and you'll ask them to help you out because you're in a pinch. It really does make you feel like you're taking crazy pills. It makes you feel like you're in bizarro land. And in fact, it's so bad right now, it's so hard for the left to even justify these kind of decisions, that now you have a former Obama Treasury counselor, Steve Rattner. He was on Morning Joe, and even he was admitting that the Biden administration trying to tell people, on one hand, we're going to destroy the oil industry, and then on the other hand, you guys aren't drilling enough and you're not producing enough oil. He described it as schizophrenia. And I want to play this cut for you. Again, this is a former Obama guy, Steve Rattner, cut 17.
Sure. The problem is that of the five, one had a fire, one had some kind of explosion. These are not simply things you can turn on like a car. It takes months. It costs tens or hundreds of millions of dollars. And by the way, you know, this is again a little bit of the schizophrenia. We've been discouraging oil companies from maintaining refineries or opening new ones, because we're theoretically in a transition away from gasoline, but we again made a misjudgment as to how long of a transition it was going to be and what we needed to do to make the transition work.
Yeah, that's the closest, by the way, for anyone who is waiting for an apology from these climate activists. That's as close as you're ever going to get.
How dare you?
I hope you're soaking it in, because that was his way of saying, whoopsies, we talked about this transition, we have nothing to transition to, and now we're going to complain about how the oil industry is letting us down. And then they wonder why they're getting these letters from the CEOs of Exxon and Chevron, who are basically saying, get lost, like kick rocks. You guys have tried to ruin us for the past few years, and now you're wondering why there hasn't been more investment in infrastructure? It's completely ridiculous. And since we're doing journalism in the news, I also want to play a cut. We don't...
Damn! Jeffrey Toobin?
Jared jumping the gun on the Jeffrey Toobin cut. All right, so there's a CNN analyst. We don't know who this is, but this is the hot take of the day on the abortion issue. Can I have cut 12, please?
Think about also the partners of these women. If they're not together, if they're not living in the same household, now does a man have to start sort of paying child support earlier than they would at this point as the woman is pregnant? Do they have to pay child support? I mean, there are all sorts of questions that this opens up for women and families all across this country. It's a new reality.
I'm going to go out on a limb here. And I'm going to say that if this decision to bring Roe versus Wade, to overturn it and bring this decision to the states, if this upsets liberals so much and they want men, I don't even know if I'm allowed to say that, they want the non-birthing person in a relationship to have to pay child support while the birthing person is pregnant, guess what?
Birthing people.
I have no issue with that. In fact, I think they're starting to get the hang of this. I think they're starting to figure out how all this works. But you'll notice that CNN analysts, usually when we're talking about abortion, or I'm sorry, when we're talking about issues with the Supreme Court, usually they bring out Jeffrey Toobin. They did not bring out...
Damn! Jeffrey Toobin?
They did not bring out Jeffrey Toobin for good reason on the issue of abortion, because as a lot of people probably know, he's got a pretty contradictory past on this issue. And let me just read you a quick summation from Molly Hemingway. This is an old tweet, but this describes Jeffrey Toobin's past. She says, reminder, pro-abortion activist Jeffrey Toobin reportedly once tried to pressure the woman he was cheating on his wife with, the daughter of a colleague, to abort their child all years before he was caught pleasuring himself at work. Just an update on what's happening at CNN. We're doing journalism in the news, and these are your journalists at CNN. So just keep that in mind.
That's the truth.
And John King is also on CNN, and take a listen to what he had to say about Joe Biden's presidency, cut 19.
President Biden's call for a summer gas tax holiday is being panned and dismissed by leading members of his own Democratic Party. Look, here's just a sampling. We will see where the consensus lies. That's from the House Speaker, Nancy Pelosi. Adds the Majority Leader, Steny Hoyer, we've all expressed reservations. Over in the Senate, Majority Whip Dick Durbin calls the administration, says should be honest about what the proposal would actually accomplish. I'm hesitant, says Virginia Senator Mark Warner. And even Biden confidant Chris Coons, Delaware Senator, who took Biden's seat, quote, I don't know whether it will get the votes. Our reporters are back with us.
When you lose Chris Coons.
Can you help me here? Can you help me here that a Democratic president... His party's in trouble. He's in trouble in an election year. He has a major policy announcement, and his own party dumps on it within seconds.
Yeah, that all sounds bad, but I would like to remind John King from CNN that Sean Penn was at the January 6th hearings yesterday, so that should turn things around for the Democrats. What, you guys are laughing. You don't agree? You don't think Sean Penn making a celebrity appearance at Liz Cheney's circus hearings is going to swing things for the Democrats in the midterms? And meanwhile, and this is a story I want Howie to join me on, because Howie talks a lot about how they're weaponizing these agencies and they're using them for political purposes. There's a story that you're not going to hear a lot today just because of the Roe versus Wade headline that's everywhere. But Jeff Clark is a former DOJ official. He was in the DOJ during the Trump administration. His home in Virginia, and you're going to feel like you've seen this film before, was raided by the FBI at dawn people who were armed with body armor. There were 12 agents. There were dogs that were, you know, electric, what do they call it? Electronic sniffing dogs. And what was his grave sin, Howie?
He was involved in he was an assistant attorney general, and he was speaking with President Trump and Rudy Giuliani and some of the other people about the upcoming certification of the Electoral College vote.
He was questioning election integrity, and so therefore he's raided at dawn by the FBI. Do I have that right?
Yes, it's a pattern. Roger Stone, Rudy Giuliani, James O'Keefe from Project Veritas. Now this guy, Jeff Clark. You know who hasn't been raided? Hunter Biden. Michael Sussman. Andrew McCabe, who has admitted to three counts of felony perjury charges. But he was never even prosecuted for them.
But it is really frightening, Howie, that this guy, Jeff Clark, he's at his home. It's dawn. They don't even give him the opportunity to put pants on, because that's how urgent this is. They have to go through his entire house. They take out all
Peter
the
Navarro. I just thought of another one.
Yeah,
his condo is next door to FBI headquarters in Pennsylvania Avenue, and they didn't even say to him, just come on in.
No, they had to arrest him.
He's got a PhD, and he's 72 years old, and they grabbed him at the airport like he was a flight risk,
and they stuck him in John Hinckley's cell. Just to make a point, it was poignant for them. Let's listen to Jeff Clark. He was on Tucker Carlson last night describing the scene. This is Cut 25.
Yesterday at about just before 7 a.m., there was loud banging at my door, insistent banging. So I just rushed down as fast as I could. I quickly figured out, you know, that there were agents there. I opened the door and asked for the courtesy to be able to put some pants on, and was told, no, you got to come outside. So I came outside. They swept the house. Eventually, they let me go back inside and put the pants on. But then, you know, by my count at one point, 12 agents and two Fairfax County police officers went into my house, searched it for 3.5 hours. They even brought along something, Tucker, I've never seen before or heard of, a electronic sniffing dog. And they took all of the electronics from my house. I don't blame the agents. I think, what you're talking about in terms of weaponization is really about who's pointing the agents and telling them what to do, Tucker.
He also said that he compared it to Stasi and the East German secret police. And he also said, I don't even recognize this country increasingly anymore. But, you know, look on the bright side, though, Jeff Clark. Only 12 agents rousted you. 29 went in with Roger Stone in Broward County, Florida, couple of years ago.
It really does feel like show me the man and I'll show you the crime. Digging through trying to find something. Let's play the other cut.
How about they went after the Nevada GOP chairman, because they're looking for his phone messages too. I mean, and they're calling Clarence Thomas's wife, Ginny Thomas, because she sent emails to some of the legislators in Arizona who could have objected to the certification of the results in Arizona. And she didn't say Mrs. Clarence Thomas, the Supreme Court's coming after. She said Ginny Thomas. She said, please help this great president. That's what she said. And now they want to issue her a subpoena and bring her in under pains and penalties of perjury to testify.
Howie, you know what else I can't help but think of when you've got 12 agents from the FBI raiding Jeff Clark's home at dawn and not letting him put pants on? I can just think, for those same people, they had no time to look into Larry Nassar. They had no time.
Or the Sarnievs, or Parkland, or Cruz at Parkland High.
Too busy bringing the electronic sniffing dog to Roger Stone and Jeff Clark's house to do anything about these mass shooters or to do anything about pedophiles.
Do you think they're working on if Jane's Revenge is plotting to torch a Catholic church or two tonight? You think they've got some agents infiltrated in there? I kind of doubt it.
I think the DHS sent out a memo and said, we've done all we can. Today's poll question is brought to you by Fairway Financial. Preparation and planning is the key to your retirement future. Visit fairwayfinancial.net. Jared, what's the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Do you agree with the decision to overturn Roe versus Wade?
Yes, I do. I have zero problem with this going to the states. Let people express their opinions and let the voters decide.
Down to 88% now who say yes. 12% say no.
When we get back, we'll play the other cut that Howie was just referencing from Jeff Clark. It really is, it's frightening to see this happening in the United States, and unfortunately, it's not all that surprising. We'll be right back with more. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Today's car crossover is brought to you by Fairway Financial. Preparation and planning is the key to your retirement future. Visit fairwayfinancial.net. Everyone should stop on by Cape Gunworks. We're going to be here till 6 o'clock. We're having so much fun. You can, if you buy a t-shirt, you get a free book. You'll be able to talk to Howie. He's coming up next, and it's just going to be a really great time. And if you're driving down here and you're saying, yeah, but the gas is so expensive, I'm about to give away $50 of gas money to our winner for the day. And if you want to join, just go to gracecurlyshow.com and enter your email. It's totally free, and you could win $50 from me or from Howie. Today's winner, and a big congratulations to Judith, who was our gas money winner.
You won! You did it!
Now, I do want to play this last cut here, Howie, that you just brought up. This is Jeff Clark, former DOJ under Donald Trump. His Virginia home was raided at dawn. And his big crime was the fact that he questioned the integrity of the election. I know. That means any of our homes could get raided as well.
How about all these people? Like Raskin questioned the election in 2016. James McGovern, the congressman from Worcester, questioned it in 2004. A bunch of them have. The last election they accepted Republican victory was 1988 with Dukakis and Bush.
Yeah, but they all have D's next to their name, Howie. That's the most important thing. Let's play Jeff Clark. This is cut 26.
I argued in front of Merrick Garland. I got a very respectful hearing. I think I was going to win that case, but we wound up actually settling it in the shadow of what, you know, everyone assumed was going to be a victory. Sometimes that happens in financial cases. And Chris Wray was with me in the Justice Department. He was just in the criminal division back in Bush 43. So I do know both of them. And, you know, I just think we're living in an era that I don't recognize, and increasingly, Tucker, I don't recognize the country anymore with these kinds of Stasi-like things happening.
I think he's dead on in that. We've seen this, as Howie mentioned, he listed off a lot of names. This is not the first time we've seen this kind of revenge on Trump officials or anyone who has shown Trump any sort of support over the years. Howie Carr is coming up next. Come visit us at Cape Gunworks in Hyannis, Airport Road. I'm looking at my Biden cheat sheet. It says, you tell the audience to come to Cape Gunworks. Well, here I am. Come on down. We'll be here till 6 o'clock. Howie Carr, coming up next.
You got good blood, kid.